In this Friday edition, we talk with Matthew Marshall, Executive Director of Redwood Energy Authority, Eureka, California. We'll be talking about the services they offer and how they and PG&E could better serve Eastern Humboldt County.
Okay, so you are with the Redwood Coast Energy Authority.
Yeah. My name is Matthew Marshall, and I'm the Executive Director at the Redwood Coast Energy Authority.
And we're talking about services available to the Hoopa Valley.
Just a little background on the organization, if people aren't familiar. We're a local government joint powers agency, which basically just means that we're a shared public agency of the County of Humboldt and then also the incorporated cities in the county, Trinidad, Arcata, Eureka, Fortuna, Rio Del, et cetera, as well as the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. So we're a separate government agency, but that works on behalf of all of them to implement sustainable energy initiatives. And so, one of our big areas focusing on, programs for customers, particularly helping folks use less energy in their homes through energy efficiency, which, saves money and also helps the environment. And we've got a range of programs for both residents and businesses.
Are you talking about ways that people can save on their need to use electricity?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things you can do in the energy realm. We all rely on energy for many things throughout the day, whether it's the energy that's powering your refrigerator, keeping the lights on at night, versus your water heater and your hot water, or heating your home in the winter, and then the energy needed to move your car, so then the energy that gets used at work. The first thing to do is don't waste energy, and so whether it's more efficient lighting or more efficient water heating, those are kinds of things that folks can do and that businesses can do, and we have rebates. The first step is usually to get sort of an assessment. So we offer free consultations for both residents and businesses to help them figure out what are you using energy for, and is there a way to reduce that consumption so that you're not wasting your energy, which is wasting dollars, where you get a sort of a win-win and that it can help reduce cost of your utility bills while also obviously helping out the environment. It can be complicated. There's a lot of programs. So the good part is there's a lot of different programs as far as incentives and rebates. We do residential energy kits where we'll put together a box of high efficiency light bulbs and other things, to figure out what exactly you need. People aren't energy experts for no cost. We've got a program that basically funds us to go out and provide no cost assistance to both homes and businesses to help them figure out what do they need for their particular situation and what programs are out there to help them reduce their bill and reduce their environmental impact.
Would this also include weatherization?
Yeah, so we don't directly do weatherization, but there's some great programs locally, and that's one of the things we can also help with is just identifying you would qualify for this, to refer you to that program. So we do some stuff in-house, but there's a lot of programs that are available, and we can help people figure out which ones they're eligible for, whether it's weatherization programs, and even sometimes just changing what rate you're on. So there's the care rate for lower income customers, and if somebody's not on that and they're eligible for it, it's a quick and easy thing you can do is just switching to that rate to reduce your bill. And so most people aren't really thinking about that. You pay your bill when you get it, but you're not necessarily going and researching every one of these programs. Here in California, it's great that we have so many programs and resources available, but because there's so many, it can be hard to kind of navigate that. And that's where we encourage people to give us a call or sort of an interest form where it's hey, you don't have to know what you want to do. You can just fill this out. Here's who I am. Here's where I live. And give us a call, or email us, and we can then kind of walk through that process of figuring out do you own your home? Do you rent? Figure out what you're eligible for and how to get you kind of tied into those programs, because we try to help people through that process, both for people's home, but also we offer quite a bit of service for small businesses to help them kind of take advantage of that for their operations, which obviously, particularly these days, with COVID and everything, it's a challenging time for a lot of people. And so resources available and helping people figure out and navigate all of that is one of the things we really want to focus on.
Well, here at the radio station, we are the first solar-powered radio station in California. It's 2004. Well, that means that our panels are that old. Is there any way you could connect us, direct us to get replacements, new modern panels?
Yeah, so I will say you probably don't need to replace them yet because solar plant, they last quite a long time, and so they're probably still working good. You might want to add more. but those panels are probably still doing just fine. Although, you know, newer panels are going to be even, you know, more productive, but, you know, those ones aren't ready to go in the dumpster yet. There is also programs available to help solar. So, you know, back to a little bit about efficiency, like first, don't waste energy by having inefficient lighting or, you know, home needs weatherization. That's the best way to save money. The least cost, biggest bang for the buck, going to be on efficiency and conservation using less. But then the next step is like, well, then can you generate your own power and programs available? And there's particularly in rural communities, there's starting to be more resources available to help folks go solar and generate their own power. So that's another angle. And then mentioned also the sort of transportation piece of it, if people are interested in electric vehicles. There's actually quite a few incentives. We have a local incentive that matches a state incentive. And, you know, sometimes it's interesting with electric vehicles because originally the first round was everyone's like, oh, it's like a golf cart. And then Tesla kind of real popular. And then everyone says, oh, now they're too expensive. It's like a luxury car. I can't afford it. You know, so, and it's like, actually, there's golf carts and there's Teslas, but there's a lot in between now. You know, and there's quite a few more affordable options. And but there's also now used vehicles that are on the market as far as electric vehicles. You know, the other thing I'll mention about electric vehicles is there's two flavors, if you will. There's fully electric vehicles that are just, you know, all I've got is an electric motor and battery and entirely rely on that. There's also plug-in hybrids, which are more like Prius type hybrid, but they've got a bigger battery system, but you can plug them in and charge them, and then you get a much longer, like, fully electric range. So, like, I have a Chevy Volt, for example, and so I can go 40, 50 miles on just the electric part of it. And then it kicks over to being more a conventional hybrid. So it's also got a gas tank and a gas engine. I could drive across the country and never charge once and just use gas stations like it was a gas vehicle. But then when I'm around at home, I can drive 20 miles to work and back, use the electric part of it, and charge just a wall outlet at your house at night while you're sleeping, just like you plug in your cell phone. And so it's pretty convenient. And then it's also much lower cost. And so, you know, if you're charging electric vehicle at night while you're sleeping, it's like the equivalent of like $1.50 a gallon of gas, less than $2 a gallon of gas price-wise as far as cost of electricity at night versus the cost of gasoline. And so it's actually a lower cost way to get around. There's a lot more options on the market, and some of them are not really significantly more expensive than a conventional vehicle. And then there's incentives available to help kind of buy down that upfront cost. There's going to be a electric Ford F-150 out next year, I think. So
yeah, we have about 8 charging stations here in our shopping center.
Yeah, and there's really starting to be a bigger and bigger network of those charging stations, which are great. One of the things about electric vehicles is you've got some options as far as that charging. And so because you can literally charge from an outlet in your house charging station, that's what I actually use. I just plug my car in at night while I'm sleeping, just like I do my cell phone. Get up in the morning and it's charged. You can charge kind of anywhere, but those public charging stations and like the ones out in the Hoopa Valley, those are sort of fast charger stations that like do a pretty quick charge, different levels. You know, so some are like 15 minutes and it's charged up. There's ones where it's like, okay, you plug this in while you're at work or shopping or something, and you get a good amount of charge. For the most part, you know, people with electric cars, again, treat them like their cell phone. It's like you plug it in while you're sleeping, you charge it while you're sleeping, and it's ready to go, which is pretty convenient. But those public stations are important because if you've got a fully electric vehicle and you're like, hey, I forgot to plug it in last night, I got to top off, or, you know, I'm on my way home or whatever, and, you know, I've got a long trip, you can use those. But it's different than like a how you use a gas station. So it's kind of a different approach to fueling your car.
Okay. So RCEA, are you actually the electricity provider and use PG&E lines or?
Yeah. So that's another one of our key programs. You know, we've been talking about the sort of customer side programs of working with homeowners or renters and, you know, residents and businesses to help them implement solutions at their own home or business, but also on kind of the big picture utility scale, we operate what's called a Community Choice Energy Program, and that launched back in 2017. So the structure of that is PG&E, as the utility that serves our area and owns all the power lines, they continue to be the sort of main point of interface. So, you know, everybody obviously still gets, you know, a single bill from PG&E. And then they still own and operate and maintain the transmission system. We don't have any role in that. As far as the power lines, the lines that go to your home, the big transmission lines that go in and out of the county, that's all still PG&E. But then on the actual, like, where does the electricity or the product, the electricity commodity that's being generated at power plants, where does that come from? Through the community choice energy model, basically, we now have local control over where our electricity is coming from. So what our CEA does is we go out and we sign contracts for power delivery, or we build, new power plants. And then that basically is where the actual electricity is coming from. You know, PG&E still delivers it. So from the customer standpoint, you don't really notice any difference. The advantage of this kind of program are we get local control of where our electricity is coming from. And so, you know, we're able to say, hey, we want to have more renewable energy. We want to support, you know, those kinds of projects. And a big thing for our goals is, you know, to have local renewable energy projects so that, you know, not only are we reducing our environmental, you know, impact, but we're also spending our energy dollars here in the community. And so rather than buying power from PG&E and from outside the county, if we can invest in local projects and spend that money here in the community, then that creates economic benefits. You know, the other aspect of that is we can still maintain competitive rates, and actually the rates through our CEA since 2017 have always been lower than PG&E's, and we've consistently been able to, on average, deliver about $2 million in rate savings across the whole county. So, you know, an individual customer is only saving maybe a couple bucks. You know, it's not a huge amount for a residential customer. You know, businesses are saving a little bit more because they use a lot more energy. But, you know, collectively across the county, it's actually saving. In general, we've been running about $2 million a year on average, lower rates because we have this program locally. So, you know, it's a pretty neat thing that lets us really kind of spend the dollars that people are paying here for community projects, you know, like doing local solar projects and also local programs like energy efficiency, while at the same time, you know, providing competitive rates. So it's not costing anybody more. It's actually costing everybody less. The structure of the program is that people in the county were automatically enrolled in it back in 2017, and we sent a bunch of mailers out. People might not have even realized that they were enrolled, although they got, you know, quite a few state-required mailers from us. And the reason why it is that kind of default option is because it's locally controlled and lower cost than the alternative. So it's not something that people have to sort of be actively involved in, but it saves a little bit of money on the bill. And then more importantly than the little bit of dollars they save on the bill, it's the ability to have those dollars go to community projects and investment in our community.
So where are the local resources that you are connecting with?
Yeah, so the first piece of that was, you know, we contracted with biomass plant down in Scotia. So there's an existing resource, but there's a facility down there, if people aren't familiar, Scotia, south of Rio Del, that uses waste from local mills to basically generate power. Back in the old days, there was teepee burners where they would take all that sawdust and bark and stuff, and they would just burn it. And, you know, then at some point people realized that was not so great for air quality and it wasn't a great use of this material. And so they developed, biomass utilization as a way to capture that instead of just burning it and wasting it. And obviously there's, you know, more complicated than just that. But so we have a contract with Humboldt Road Company, Humboldt Sawmill Company, to buy the power that they produce from that facility in Scotia. We've got a couple projects to do local solar projects. We're building a microgrid at the Humboldt County Airport in McKinleyville. It'll be a solar and like battery storage project. And it's a little more complicated than just generating electricity, in the sense that if folks have heard about like the Blue Lake Rancheria is kind of a, not just locally, but actually like nationally famous microgrid project, you know, that they developed in partnership with the Schatz Energy Research Center, where they have solar and battery storage, and they're able to, you know, both use that solar and battery storage to provide power day-to-day basis. But then if the power goes out, it's like a backup generator where they can disconnect from the grid, and then they can use solar and batteries and also, you know, manage their energy use to supply power, you know, consistently if there's an emergency or an outage. And so we're building a similar system that will be able to power both the airport and the Coast Guard air station there. If there's outages or a natural disaster, you know, when the big earthquake comes and the power's out, and it'll be able to supplement their, you know, they've got diesel generators or whatever as backup, but they'll be able to sort of step in first and provide, you know, solar and battery storage power in an emergency. And so that's another area where I think we're interested in kind of working with PG&E to identify sites where we could do those kinds of solar and battery storage projects that, again, are good for the environment and provide power you know, on a day-to-day basis. But then when there's, you know, whether it's a public safety power shut off or emergencies, we're able to use that as a sort of renewable, reliable backup power system. And so, you know, as the fires we're seeing right now, you know, can impact the delivery of electricity. And
what would it take to get that going, at least looking at it, to create a solar power battery storage system here in Hoopah? Because right now we got generators.
Yeah, so PG&E, because when there is the need to, like, basically de-energize and turn off the big transmission lines that come into the county, you know, the Hoopah area and the Willow Creek area would be left out, and the power would go out when that has to happen. And that's, you know, what's actually been happening for the last few days because of the fires inland. And so they've had to disconnect Humboldt County from the bigger grid, temporarily put in some generators in Hoopah and Willow Creek. But I think, you know, that's a temporary fix. To your question, you know, PG&E said, hey, these are, you know, areas that are high priority because of that potential, you know, forgetting even, you know, big natural disasters, but just this sort of annual now cycle of potentially having to turn off power. And, you know, we're talking with them about how to replicate kind of the same systems that, like, we're doing at the airport here on the Blue Lake system, to do that, you know, in the Hoopah Valley. So, you know, we're obviously going to be working with the utility district out there and PG&E and others to figure out, you know, how can we, you know, build some solar, put in some storage systems to have a long-term solution to that situation, to add that kind of energy resilience. So it's actually, you know, the Hoopah Valley is actually at the top of our list, as well as the top of PG&E's list to do that kind of system out there. And so hopefully soon we'll be able to start really putting some pieces in place to implement that.
Are you connecting with the Public Utilities District here in Hoopah on that?
Yeah, yes. You know, I think as far as a key partner in anything that's going to happen out there, that the Hoopah Public Utility District would be the local agency out there to work with. And so certainly have talked with them as well. And we've been looking for more ways to partner with them to both deliver customer services, like we were talking about at the beginning, as well as these kind of bigger picture grid solutions.
Yeah, it's needed, because we never know when the power is going out. I would love it if we had underground lines.
Yeah, that's not something we control. That's a PG&E piece. So I can't speak for PG&E, but I will say fire risk areas and, you know, in certain communities, that's, you know, one of the things they're looking at. You know, it's expensive to do it, so they have to kind of, you know, nobody wants, like, gigantic bills because, well, we undergrounded all your power lines and now you got four times as big an electricity bill. So, you know, they're trying to do it, you know, strategically, but I...
Well, it sure seems to us that we are paying for the Paradise Fire.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and you know what I was going to say is, you know, as far as PG&E, what I did hear actually, you know, directly from their new CEO was they want to do more of that kind of work, and they also, to get more done and not have us, you know, have it hit us in the wallet, you know, she's really focused on how to do it more affordably and more cost effectively, you know. And so when she was saying, hey, we're doing all this underground work, but we, like, you know, when she came in, she said, like, we got to figure out how to reduce the cost of doing this, because, you know, if it's X dollars a mile, you know, it's like we need to cut that in half so we can do twice as many miles of undergrounding. And so I think, you know, I can't speak for PG&E or what their plans are out in Hoopah. That's definitely one of the tools in the toolbox, and it was pleased to hear their new leadership. You know, she just stepped in, and she was very much focused on trying to do that kind of work, but also to make them, you know, more cost effective as they do it, so that it's not hurting all of us. Like, well, do you pay for the work up front to prevent it, or do you pay after it happens and, you know, you have a disaster? And so I think they're trying to really be more on top of focusing on the prevention part of it. So I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see. You know, again, she just got the job a little while ago, so we'll see how she does with it as the new CEO.
Well, yeah, that's all we could do is hope at this point. So what is your goals for Humboldt County and out eastern Humboldt County is our main concern.
Yeah, so I think we want to focus on getting off of fossil fuels to renewable energy, really locally, doing our part to address climate change, increasing fires and everything else. It's like it's starting to hit home of that really means, the drought and everything, and what that's doing to salmon. And, you know, it's like, okay, it's not a it's not a future problem anymore. We're seeing the consequences of fossil fuel dependence. And so I think our focus is really on just transitioning off of fossil fuels. And then I think if there's an opportunity to do that in a way that actually makes our energy system, you know, more resilient, not less reliable, we do these kinds of microgrid systems and we develop resources locally, then, you know, we can actually have less environmental impact, more reliable service. And we also can do that in a way that supports local economic development and job creation. And so all the way from the like customer programs where you've got contractors out there going and, you know, helping install energy efficiency stuff at people's homes to the big picture stuff. You know, we're working on offshore wind, just a visit from the Secretary of Interior, mostly focused on actually meeting with local tribes. But she spent a couple hours talking with folks, including myself. I felt very fortunate to get to meet her, you know, about offshore wind and, you know, the federal government's commitment to developing offshore wind. And so, you know, I think there's those kind of big picture projects can help us reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. But then there's also the stuff that we can do at the household and business level. And all those things create jobs and potentially, you know, make our energy system more reliable and still affordable. You know, that's really our mission. Focus on doing that kind of work here in the community and in the county. And I think, you know, my board explicitly said they want to see us, you know, work not just in Eureka and Arcata and McKinleyville on the coast, but, you know, in the more, you know, rural parts of the county and certainly also working with local tribes on figuring out how to, you know, partner with tribal governments on these kinds of projects, because, you know, that's a great opportunity to do more and support communities like Hoopa and other areas.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, you know, I think I'll just kind of, you know, circling all the way back to the customer programs, you know, folks can go to our webpage, which is redwoodenergy.org, to get more information. And there's, you know, the sort of first step is like a customer interest form, which just says, hey, I'm interested. It's what can you guys do for me? And then we, you know, route that to the right people. You know, if people don't want to go online, they can also just call our office. You know, our office is in Eureka. The number is 707-269-1700. And if somebody doesn't have good internet access or would rather just talk through it with a human being, you know, call up and staff will kind of walk you through, you know, what resources are available and what programs might be the right fit for somebody's home or for their business. And so encourage folks to reach out and then we can, you know, walk through. And again, there's no cost for the first stages of that. And it can be very clear for the, hey, if you want to sign up for this, it actually costs money, then, you know, you'll know that. But there's actually quite a bit, you know, low or no cost options and resources available. And the first step is just kind of learning about those. And that's not something that we charge for. So we're happy to hear from folks and hopefully we'll get an influx of calls from folks out in Hoopa and we can help direct people to what might help them out.
Well, very good. Thank you, Matthew. This is good information, and people know what you're doing and how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, no, thanks again for having me. I appreciate the time and look forward to having folks in Hoopa reach out to us.
Okay.
I have been talking with Matthew Marshall, the Executive Director of the Redwood Energy Authority, about their services to Hoopa and their plans to serve Eastern Humboldt County. Their website is redwoodenergy.org. Their telephone number and 800 number is 800-931-7232. That's 800-931-7232. Their email address, info@redwoodenergy.org. info@redwoodenergy.org. The Friday Edition is a production of KIDE, Hoopa Tribal Radio. The producer, host, and engineer has been Joseph Orozco. Music bed by J.S. Orozco. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.